Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Another deep track, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real deep.
Yeah?
Yes, Run, Rudolph, Run.
I'm not talking about the reindeer, is it?
That's correct, sir. We're talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, it is? So it's a Christmas song?
It is. You know what? I'm going off the grid. We're playing Christmas songs during summer.
What? Are you high?
Super high.
Man, oh, man.
Good stuff in Washington.
Steamrolling. Yeah, Jay Hensley. Jay Inslee's very proud of that. Steamrolling into our final hour of the broadcast week. Into some of our final hour of the broadcast week. Some of us are going to be working tomorrow.
I know. If you tune in tomorrow morning between 6 and noon.
So you're doing newscasts on,
yes,
on Saturday morning.
Yes.
Good for you.
I know. I'm pitching in because we're a little short-handed right now. You know, people need to go on vacations and such.
Well, bless your heart. So if you want to get caught up on any of the stories that we are presenting on the air, any of the major stories, I've got to give a shout-out to the other Nicole, to Jennings.
She is cranking them out.
Is producing more news than any writer in Western Washington these days. I'm serious. She's just a writing machine, and this is what we were looking for. We wanted to expand the footprint of our show beyond the 3 hours that we're on the air, and so we got stuff that's popping up every few hours on My Northwest and the next morning, and we're turning around our show content, and man, Jennings is doing a great job.
I mean, the turnaround is, it's challenging. I mean, the kind of news we've had this week, just for example, I mean, I know that some people were saying, you know, the Seattle Times wasn't able to get that town hall into the paper, the physical paper,
right,
the next day. Well, you know, we're getting this stuff in very quickly.
Yes.
And that's, you know, in large part to...
It's Jennings.
Yeah, it's Jennings.
Yeah. And then the original Nicole Thompson.
I know.
She's taking a couple days off. And
Well-deserved.
Chris Martin is doing a great job producing the show today. Thank you, Chris.
Super fun to be here. I've always wanted to do this.
We've never worked together?
No, I couldn't believe it either. I've filled in when you weren't here, but never together.
Wow. Well, you're doing a fantastic job.
Oh, thanks.
And then there's that Sean DeTore. Could he be any cuter?
Oh, gee.
Huh?
Huh?
He doesn't call anyone cute.
I know, and I love it.
So anyway, we got a lot of stuff to get to. There was something else I was going to talk about before. Oh, I know that he's accused of being a heroin dealer, but I got to tell you, that Freddie Gautama, that is my favorite name in the news today.
Gautama Squared.
Yeah, that's his name. Freddie
Gautama. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a cute name. Not a cute.
What he did wasn't so cute. He's been sentenced now. He's heading to prison.
Oh, it's more than an accusation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So Gautama is going away.
That doesn't sound like a good tama to me.
It really doesn't.
Sounds like a bad tama.
And then, before I get to the top stories this hour, which, believe it or not, are still ahead, I've had a bunch of listeners, and I don't know the answer to this question. And I'm guessing you're not going to know because I'm just blindsiding you with this. Bill Cosby could go to prison for the rest of his life. He could
yes.
be sentenced for 30 years.
Mind you, he's 80.
For what he did to this woman.
Constand.
Yeah, 25, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why, if Bill Cosby can be sentenced for the rest of his life for what he did to that woman, why cannot we go after the accused child rapist, Ed Murray? For what he allegedly did to criminally. I mean, they're going after him civilly, and we just talked to Jeff Simpson's attorney a half hour ago, and it sounds like after they go after the city of Seattle, they're going to go after every penny Ed Murray has in his Capitol Hill and Peninsula houses and his six-figure lifetime pension from the taxpayers. But I know the reason they can't is because there's a statute of limitations, but I can't understand, and the listeners can't understand, Why was there not a statute of limitations for the sex crime that Bill Cosby allegedly did commit? He was convicted. Why was there not a statute of limitations for Bill Cosby, but there is for Ed Murray? And I honestly don't know the answer, and I don't expect that you will, but I think that's something we should look into because a bunch of listeners are asking me that question.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know is the answer. Instead of trying to bluff my way through stuff, I will just tell you when I don't know. But I wanted to acknowledge that I agree with all of you who are texting me and emailing me that it's a great question, and we'll see over the weekend if we can. Oh, maybe.
So apparently in this
breaking news,
okay, no, it's not
here.
Breaking news. Okay. This is just a Google search. Please,
come on, it's theater of the mind.
I know, but I want to be credible when I say it's breaking. News and this is not
abilities for losers.
Well, I guess I'm a loser. But Andrea Constand is the only one of dozens of Cosby's accusers whose report led to a criminal trial because in the other cases the statute of limitations had expired.
But hers had not.
Yes.
So what he did to her,
I mean, because there are many other women who have come forward, but hers is the only one.
So that was the most recent of the accusers.
Yes, 2004. So it hadn't expired.
Okay. All right.
That case. So that's the answer.
And I wonder what.
And in the case of Ed Murray, I mean, a lot of these are in the 70s.
70s and 80s. Yeah. Okay. So
there's your answer.
Whatever the statute of limitations is for these crimes, Cosby's accuser was within it and Ed Murray's is not. So that's, thank you. That, you know what? That was breaking news. That was good. I like that.
Now that was a quick Google search.
Okay. So why don't our listeners, instead of sending me a text, they're sending it their computer. Why don't they just Google search it?
Because I think
if it's that easy.
I think it's kind of more of a rhetorical question.
No, there's an actual question.
Okay.
I didn't know the answer. I wanted to know the answer.
Okay. Well, now you have it.
But for crying out loud, why bother us? You don't need us to be your middleman. Just Google search it yourself, for crying out loud. All right. With that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Again, I want to give credit to our friends at Channel 4. They have this story up at comonews.com, and it is a remarkable story. It is an absolutely infuriating story. I had a chance to talk at 12:30 this afternoon with the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. I'll play for you what he had to say, but let me play a little bit or most of this Como 4 news story. Again, you can see, go to their website, go to comonews.com, because they have the video up of the body cam footage from these Seattle police officers. But this is one of the most infuriating stories of what we do to cops, what our society, what command does to cops. I have such respect for the men and women who serve, the ones on the street, the ones who are dealing with danger, the ones who are risking their lives to keep us safe. And hearing what this Seattle police officer is going through right now is absolutely mind-boggling. Channel 4's Joel Moreno had this exclusive story last night.
This started as a robbery call right here at REI. It ended with an officer doing a bear hug type tackle of the man with the axe. Now, it's that tackle that's now being investigated as a failure to de-escalate.
Okay, so you got to understand. A guy goes into, oh, by the way, a bunch of listeners jumped all over me because I kept calling it a pickaxe. And they said, Monson, it's not a pickaxe. It's an ice axe. Sorry, I've never climbed a glacier. It's an ice axe. Guy goes into REI, steals an ice axe, and they have camera footage within the REI of when it first happened.
The Seattle police footage begins inside REI, where a man had just stolen an ice axe and held it up to threaten store security, who tried to stop him.
Dude.
Police tracked him outside the store, calling for backup.
And so what you see in the officer's body cam video is the guy in REI, he's holding the ice axe over his head like he's going to bring it down on store security. And then the cops are following him at a safe distance. but they are also warning pedestrians, get clear, get clear. Every once in a while, the guy will raise the axe over his head and threaten the cops who are pursuing him.
So he's been swinging, he's looking back at me, and he's holding it up like this, like he's going to swing it at me.
But the man refused to stop or follow commands.
Drop it now. It's on the ground. Man, it's okay, just drop the ice axe.
The president of the police union says officers had limited choices.
At some point, if we don't act, someone's going to get hurt.
Officers followed the suspect for blocks and at the same time tried to clear the streets.
Look, step away, please. Step away.
So other pedestrians, this is middle of the afternoon, downtown Seattle. The guy's obviously having, he's either on drugs or having some mental breakdown. He is capable of plunging this ice axe into someone's head. The cops are clearing people. They're staying at a safe distance because he could bring it down on one of the cops, too.
Get out of the way!
It's at that point that Officer Nick Guzley joined the effort. The suspect made his way into a narrow corridor and police tried to press in, but the man held the axe over his head.
So this guy is an imminent danger to the pedestrians, the lunchgoers in downtown Seattle, to the officers who are keeping us safe, who are risking their lives. They're telling everybody to get away, but they're tracking him. They're tracking him because that's what cops do on our behalf.
Moments later, Officer Guzley came up on the right-hand side and made the tackle.
Get on the ground!
This guy's a hero. This is Officer Nick Guzley. He takes a moment, an instant, when he makes the calculation, the guy can't see me, I can bear hug him, I can take him to the ground even though he's got this axe, and we won't have to shoot him. We don't even have to tase him. Nobody was hurt. He bear hugs the guy, takes him down to the ground.
Drop the axe!
I thought that it was a commendable act.
This is the Seattle Police Guild president who I talked to a couple hours ago, and I'll play those clips in a minute.
Alternative is to continue to let him walk in until he walks into somebody that he's clearly having a mental break, and he hits him in the head, and then what? Then the question would be is, why didn't you act sooner?
Well, the man with the axe, he was convicted of robbery. He's in prison tonight. The police officer, he remains on patrol, but he is awaiting a potential discipline trial.
What? He's awaiting a potential discipline trial because, and again, the guy wasn't hurt. The cop didn't shoot him. He took a moment and he wrapped him up and took him to the ground. The officer's supervisor filed a complaint against Officer Nick Guzley. The investigation is for failure to de-escalate. How much deer can escalation be than a bear hug tackle where nobody is hurt? The recommendation is that this hero of a cop, Nick Guzley, receives a 2-day suspension without pay. Does this infuriate you as much as it does me? That this is what these cops have to deal with? So I did talk with the Kevin Stuckey, the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. How do you de-escalate more than just putting a guy in a bear hug and stopping a guy in a mental episode with a pickaxe?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I think that what we don't do as a profession is really explain some of our terms and the things that we do. So let me just tell you, de-escalation is getting space, the time, distance to come up with a better solution. That's de-escalation in a nutshell. However, if there is situations, and this was one, where you don't have that time, well, then it's not proper to try to de-escalate. This was a situation where we were going into having someone enter into an area where there were innocent people.
Right.
The last thing we want to do is put someone in jeopardy, second guessing. I thought, I don't think you could have done anything differently.
Think about it. If this guy had decided there's a pedestrian 50 feet away, I'm going to charge them with the axe over my head, the cops would have had to have shot and killed him in the street. This officer risked his life to tackle him, and I cannot imagine being a cop in Seattle right now. I mean, you talk about a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of job to be a cop these days, where you know, anytime there's a even justified shooting, of course, there's community outrage that they should have done less. And here's a cop. All he did was bear hug a madman with a pickaxe. And now he's facing a suspension. I don't know how anybody can even go into this profession anymore. And we need great men and women serving in our police forces. I cannot believe what's going on here, Kevin.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because in actuality, we are within a crisis. We can't find people to want to do the job anymore. It's very real that in a few years, we won't have anybody to replenish the people who retire because of these types of incidents. Because you're right. If I do everything the way I'm taught to do it, you know, just like you said, this wasn't a shooting.
Right. It was a bear hug
to where no one was injured. And still, they were like, no, that wasn't right. I don't know what else he could have done. And when you see that, and that's on the news, and people see it, if you got a 21 to 24-year-old kid, and they come to you and they say, hey, I want to get into law enforcement, would you tell them, yeah, that's a job you should take?
No. And that makes me sad, because we need great women, men and women to protect us. And I have nothing but admiration for the many good cops. And I went and spoke to the Seattle Police Canine Unit's annual dinner. What a fantastic group of people that I got to speak with a few weeks ago. And I can't believe what we're doing to these cops. Justified shootings, and there's rioting in the street. Bear hug tackles, and there's the possibility of a suspension. We got heroin addicts everywhere. We got homes being broken into, cars being smashed. We're told that we don't have enough cops. Would you want your kid to go into that profession? They make a split-second life-or-death decision. People want to put the cop in prison for the rest of their life. And there have been some bad shoots. I'm not pretending that everything's justified. The cop back east who shot the guy running away in the back, he should go to prison for that. But there have been justifiable shoots where inquest juries have said it's good, and there are still people who want those cops put in prison for the rest of their life. And then here's a guy who tackled somebody with an ice axe, and supervisor wants a 2-day suspension. Bunch of listeners have said, is there some gripe between the supervisor and this cop, and there's just some petty thing? I don't know. We did call, along with calling the Police Guild, we did call Seattle Police to see if we could get their comment on this. And they've not gotten back to us. There you have it. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then we are going to count down our favorite sound bites of the week, two of which people are nominating for soundbite of the year. It's a pretty good batch of awesome audio coming up. Okay, we can't dilly-dally here, because it's Friday afternoon, and we have to get to our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Doring Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Sean.
Couldn't hear you over that. Yes, I apologize. I didn't mean to dilly or dally.
Yeah. Two of these three, Ursula, listeners have nominated for soundbite of the year. That's remarkable in one week.
I'm thinking the one that there's one I think I know that's going to just make me and you cringe.
Yes. I don't even know if I should play it again, quite frankly. So at number three, do I even have time? Because the top two are so good. We're just going to do a top two.
Yeah, these just are the top two.
These are the top two that listeners have nominated for Soundbite of the Year. So it was on Wednesday, and we'd had a very hectic show, and I was running on fumes, and I'm trying to tell the story about the house next door to the house where I grew up.
And the owner's name is Richard.
Well, it's Dick. I mean, we always called him Dick.
Mm-hmm.
And he still, I believe, is the owner of the house. I think he just went to a care facility recently. I don't know that for sure. But I used to prank him all the time. I'd send pizzas to his house. I'd send taxi cabs. And there was a big story on Channel 7 that the house is filled with black mold. And
the spectacular thing is it's filled with black mold, and yet it's going for like $800,000.
Yeah, $775,000, yeah. Even though it's filled with black mold. So I tried to tell the story. Hey, look, this is the guy that I used to prank when I was a kid, and it was my next door neighbor when I was growing up in Ballard, and it just came out horribly wrong.
Number two.
When I was a little boy, I would send pizzas and taxi cabs to the guy who we were always feuding with and fighting with, and he was drinking every day. And the guy still lived in the house until just a few months ago. And imagine my shock when I saw my boyhood neighbor's Dick. That's his name. Wait a second. My boyhood neighbor, Dick's house.
Wow.
Dick is his name.
Whoa.
Dick is his name.
Yes.
That's a drop.
No. It should be a dump if you had any healthy appreciation for the show. Jeez. Nicole's in hysterics.
Oh, where's my blood pressure cuff?
Oh, Lord. Anyway, Sean makes it a drop and emails it to everyone. Imagine my shock when I saw my boyhood neighbor's Dick.
Gets funnier every time.
But are we
going to get in trouble for that?
No, it's so... No, how can... All it is I...
It's a man's name.
I accidentally moved an apostrophe S. I meant to put it on his name.
Over it. Yes.
And I put it on the word before. And I meant to say, imagine my shock when I saw my boyhood neighbor, Dick's house, on the news, which is perfectly appropriate, and it's just an apostrophe S. Crying out loud.
Oh, our listeners just don't miss a thing.
At number one, this is what everybody wants. This is their ringtone. When Shama Sawant tried to speak in front of the Amazon spheres, but all the good blue-collar construction workers, they had another idea.
Number one.
Members of the media, I really appreciate you all coming here for this important discussion.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
I'm serious. I have about 50 people who want this as their ringtone, they say.
In the labor movement, as you know, I'm also a rank-and-file member of the labor movement.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Brothers, the only people you're empowering is Amazon and the bosses. I invite one of you to speak here.
No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
And then my favorite part was when Sawant said, okay, I'm just going to power through it, and you hear one syllable out of her mouth in between their chants.
I agree with my brother.
No head tax!
That homelessness
no head
is not
tax!
An issue.
No head tax!
But I don't
no
agree
head tax!
That
no head tax! No head tax! No head tax! No head tax!
Amazon
no head tax! No head tax!
Drivers.
No head tax! No head tax!
Oh. Beautiful, great job, construction workers, and we will have more about how we are taking back our region next in today's sign. Stretch week, come. What a week. What a show. What a show. What a week. This really has been a week. I feel the tide turning here in the Puget Sound area. We did say it was coming several weeks ago. We said it's gotten as crazy as it's going to get. We let the wackos, the socialists, the communists take too much control. And as always, when they get control, they swallow themselves up. And finally, the people are ready to take things back around here.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
We want to be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Gonna have to be a different man. Time may change me, but I can't twist
on. So now the challenge, of course, momentum. It's got to go beyond a meeting in Ballard and those wonderful construction workers shouting down Shama Sawant. It's going to take getting rid of the liars and the con artists and the cheats, the Sawants and the Mike O'Briens and the Rob Johnsons. It's time for Jenny Durkin to get a spine, for crying out loud. Duckin' Durkin. As long as we still have these people in charge, it is going to be a battle for those of us who want to get things back from the drug addicts and the needles everywhere around here. But I think we're up to it. Because we truly have reached a tipping point. Got to say no to those heroin injection sites that'll continue to bring addicts from all around the country, which will continue to bring the dealers from all around the country, and will continue to bring crime into your home and your parked car. So we'll keep the pressure on, we'll keep the momentum up, right? I'm counting on you. Okay, with that as mere prelude, it is time for today's sign. The end is near. Just got a couple goofy stories left over here. A mystery pooper at a high school in New Jersey has finally been caught. It turns out that they were finding human feces on a daily basis at the track and football field at Homedale High School. And it was happening every single day. Somebody was pooping on the track. So they set up some surveillance cameras, and they finally caught the person. 42-year-old Thomas Tramaglini. They caught him in the act of once again defecating on the high school running track. 5:58 a.m. is when he was doing his pooping. And you're probably wondering what Thomas Tramaglini does there in Aberdeen, New Jersey. Oh, he's the superintendent of the schools in Aberdeen, New Jersey. He makes $147,500 a year as the school district superintendent. And he now has taken a leave of absence, but it's a paid leave of absence. How in the world do you poop on your work high school track and get a vacation for that? You get a vacation? He's going to appear in court on Monday, but how is that a paid leave of absence? I have a feeling that if I did that in the newsroom here at Cairo, I don't think they'd say, hey, go home for a few days and we'll give you your check on Friday. I just don't. Government work. Crying out loud. All right. And then a couple weeks ago, Jimmy Kimmel did this bit because he saw that there was a story that kids cannot read analog clocks anymore. With the hands. They're just used to seeing the time digitally. And he went out in the street and talked to kids, and they were able to prove it.
Schools in England are removing analog clocks from classrooms because the kids can't tell time anymore. They only understand digital clocks because they all have phones, and which is shocking. But I have a feeling we might have the same problem here. So we went out on the street today to ask kids if they know what time it is.
Okay, so they had an analog clock and went up to the kids.
What time does it say it is on this clock?
I don't know.
Do you know what time it is?
No.
Is it 9:23?
1?
7?
1 or 7?
Seven.
Kids in America overwhelmingly cannot read analog clocks anymore. Yeah, what Kimmel said is true. Schools in the UK are removing analog clocks from the classroom because the students are complaining they cannot read them. And so they are replacing traditional clocks with digital ones because that's the only way that chillin' will know what time it is in class. I spent a lot of time in class watching the second hand go around. I was so bored in school. I would just sit, watch the seconds tick away. We had those clocks where the minute man would click forward 1 minute. It wouldn't gradually go in between the hash marks. I can't tell you how much time I stared at a clock in my school days. I just wanted out. Just wanted out. Wanted to move on. Wanted to get a talk show gig. All of that is today's sign, the end is near. It's a good way to close out the week. Because as I said at the beginning of the segment, it's time for us to change things up around here. Some of Pink Floyd's lyrics in this song reminds me of what's going on in our neighborhoods here now. Kicking around on a piece of ground in your hometown, waiting for someone or something to show you the way. That's the problem around here. We got too many people who are waiting for someone else, something else, to show them the way. We've been bound and determined to make sure that people can't be self-sufficient. People have to rely on government for everything. The moments that make up a dull day. Fritter and waste, the owls in love and rain. Picking around on a piece of ground in your hometown. Waiting for someone or something to show you the way. That's what I love about my listeners, about you. You're self-sufficient. You're rebelling against the, we're all helpless, we all need government to be our sunrise and sunset. We can't do anything unless Sawant takes it from someone else. All right, that's going to do it for us for this week. It's been a really great week, and I appreciate everything that you have done for us all week and what you're doing for this region. You're making a statement. I hope you have an absolutely fantastic weekend. The Ron Dodd Show's coming up next, and I will see you back here Monday. High noon. Head up.
There's been nobody ever better on the radio than me, and I mean that.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.